us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that it will challenge us and give us the will and the courage to be the kind of people you want us to be, to follow your ways and not ours, to trust you and not the world. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. The content of belief is important. Jonathan Whitfield was preaching to coal miners in England, and he asked one person, "What do you believe?" "Well, I believe the same as the church." "And what does the church believe?" "Well, they believe the same as me." And seeing that he was getting nowhere, Whitfield said, "And what is it that you both believe?" "Well, I suppose the same thing." You know, it's nice when people believe the same things, when members of the church believe the same thing. The truth is, though, generally, we don't believe the same things. We believe what our experiences in life have led us to believe. Or we both have studied things carefully and diligently to come to new beliefs in spite of our life experiences, perhaps. And this leads me to talk about the fact that this past June, our denomination, the Presbyterian Church USA, at its General Assembly in Portland, Oregon, approved adding the Belhar Confession to our Book of Confessions. Now let me remind you that the Book of Confessions is the first part of the constitution of our denomination, the second part being the Book of Order, which is all the governing stuff. Now, as I've said in my sermon title, why this confession and why now? After all, we have 11 confessions in the book already. These are questions many may have when they hear about this action that the denomination took. And today and in the next 3 weeks, I will be looking at that question. Why this confession and why now? And today I just kind of want to set it up for the other three. But let's be clear what we mean when we say confession. This is not the confession like in a service where we confess our sins. It's not something we do for penance. In this context, confession is an affirmation of faith, an affirmation of what we believe. The earliest confession we have in the Book of Confessions is the Apostles' Creed. It was an attempt to bring various church leaders together to develop a statement of belief that identified what they thought the church and faithful people should believe in that time, which is back in the 200 AD. Both the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, which was written in the middle of the 300s, were written to fight heresies in the early church. The other nine had been written by various religious groups throughout history to identify what they saw what God was guiding the church to say and be in light of the challenges of their day. I shared with many of you before that the Theological Declaration of Barmen was a statement in 1933 by the German Evangelical Church, a Reformed denomination, to clarify their beliefs in the face of the rise of the Nazi Party under Hitler. And it used scriptures to refute some of the thoughts and actions of Hitler and the Nazi Party. The last confession to be added to the book was a brief statement of faith. It's so brief, it's only 2 pages long, which was included in 1991, and it was called for in the plan for reunion when the old Northern Church, the UPC, United Presbyterian Church USA, and the old Southern Church, the Presbyterian Church US, were reunited in 1983. And it took them 8 years to write this brief statement of faith. The two churches had been separated from the time of the Civil War. In the study guide for the Belhar Confession, which was put out by the Christian Reformed Church in North America, which is part of the Reformed Network of Churches in the world, and includes the Dutch Reformed denominations of South Africa, we read the following in that study guide. The Belhar Confession has its roots in the struggles against apartheid in South Africa. This outcry of faith and call for faithfulness and repentance was first drafted in 1982 by the Dutch Reformed Mission Church, which took the lead in declaring status confessionis concerning apartheid, stating that the truth of the gospel was at stake. The Dutch Reformed Mission Church formally adopted the Belhar Confession in 1986. Now one of the standards of unity of the United Reformed Church in Southern Africa and several other denominations. Belhar's framework for confronting the sin of racism has made possible reconciliation among Reformed churches in Southern Africa and has aided the process of reconciliation within the nation of South Africa and elsewhere. Now many may wonder, maybe some of you, what does a confession written during the South African apartheid have to offer to members of the Presbyterian Church USA? Well, I would ask you to consider what is happening in our nation today. We are having an election which has a lot of anger to it. Our nation, we're hearing constantly of claims of misogyny and racism. We have Black Lives Matter. We have face-off between police and protesters. It is apparent to our denomination that the Belhar Confession has a lot to say to our current national experience. Because of that, I want us to take a closer look at what it says over the next 3 weeks. The process of doing this is biblical as well. Listen again to some of the words that Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians that we heard just a few minutes ago. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And later, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Paul is telling us that using the lens of Christ, we must seek to find the commonalities that will ground us in the face of our experiences of the world. The world, the country, the church are better places when we can find and lift up the things that unite us rather than the things that divide us. And since we call ourselves Christians, those things have to be based on the life and the example of Jesus. It's not about what we want. It's about what Christ wants. And that changes as humanity goes through different challenges and revisits old challenges in new times. It's a process of always trying to deduce the mind of Christ. A minister shares the following. The more we get to know Him, the more we realize there's more to get to know. There are some things you just can know about everything. Excuse me. There are some things that you can know just about everything about. In the movie Forrest Gump, Bubba Blue, Forrest's best good friend, lists all the ways to prepare shrimp. He tells Forrest, "Shrimp is the fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it. There's shrimp kebab, shrimp creole, shrimp gumbo, pan-fried, deep-fried, stir-fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp, shrimp soup, shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp and potato, shrimp burger, shrimp sandwich." That's about it. Ironically, we have some people who think they know everything there is to know about Jesus Christ. Bubba Christians, as this pastor calls them. And they will tell you, "I know everything there is to know about Jesus." And they quote the Apostles' Creed. "He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from when he shall come to judge the quick and the dead." Now, as much as I love the Apostles' Creed, he says, it does not begin to describe Jesus Christ. And knowing Christ is something that we will continue to do through eternity. What he's saying, it's not that the Apostles' Creed has nothing to say to our times today. That's why we still use it from time to time. But we have new challenges that we need Christ to speak to. And our confessions are a way for that to happen. Now let me say here as well that just like our understanding about things have changed over the years, and we generally do not believe the same things that we used to believe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, the same is true for the confessions. They are not uniform and consistent. For example, the brief statement of faith adopted in 1991, the Spirit calls women and men to all ministries of the church. And that stands in flat opposition to the insistence of the Scots Confession that the Holy Ghost will not permit women to preach in the congregation. And the Scots Confession is a part of our book of confession. Douglas E. Atati writes in a pamphlet entitled Confessional Standards for Confessing Church, the Confession of 1967 and the Book of Confessions. He writes, "Several documents in the Book of Confessions are particular statements of specific churches at particular places and times. They point to the same word, but they do so on different occasions, in different cultures, and different idioms, and in the face of different problems and crises." I love the slogan, as I shared with you before, of our brothers and sisters of the United Church of Christ. God is still speaking. Our confessional nature is one process that we use to discern what it is God is saying. We must not be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine. We must be open to the Word of Christ, speaking through the Spirit and through the Church to the issues of our day. And we will discover what that is with the Belhar Confession over the next 3 weeks.